Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast with Brendan Lowe, episode number 13. Jazz Piano in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. I am your host, Brendan Lowe, and I'm very excited to be back doing the podcast. I was away for the weekend. It's always disappointing when I'm not able to podcast. I love doing it. I love talking to you guys and just talking about music and sharing education. So I'm very happy to be back and doing this. I was at the Reno Jazz Festival playing for a vocal jazz group, which was a lot of fun. It went really well. And we are playing a cover by Dirty Loops. I don't know if you guys know that, but they're a band on YouTube in which they have adapted Rolling in the Deep, the Adele song, and they've kind of made it jazz, funky, pop. It's already a pop song, but they made it kind of more jazzy with some hits. It's a really cool rendition of Rolling in the Deep. So we did that version with the vocal jazz group. It sounded great, and we did some other tunes as well. But I am back, and I'm ready to help you guys get going, help you learn, keep going in the steps towards jazz piano and just being able to play fluently, flawlessly, with ease, and make your way around the piano whenever you want, at any party, at any bar, gig, anything, anywhere you'd like to play piano, you'll be able to sit down and play. So that's my little spiel. Our website that we're associated with is www.jazzpianoschool.com. Now, if you haven't been there, I always say to go check it out. You can sign up for a free membership to get started, and all of our lesson videos are on there. And we're going to be continuously adding more and more lesson videos into the website and eventually have a paid course that you'll be able to take if you really want to get into the good stuff and just be led all the way through from beginner, intermediate, all the way into advanced playing and learn all the steps that I have taken through school and teaching and learning from my teachers to get to where I'm at today. So in this episode, I'm going to be going over actually playing charts now. I feel like I've given enough information about chords and inversions and major triads that I'm going to talk a little bit about playing an actual chart. So I've talked to just a little bit about doing that with the example of Piano Man, and I think that was the only example that I gave, but when I was talking about it, I basically gave the chord changes and told you guys how to play them, you know, if you're reading along. And so I'm just going to do a little bit more of that today so you can play around and mess around with pieces that you might want to play that you have laying around your house, or if you go online and you see chords at all, you can start to play those charts. So here we go. So basically, when playing a chart, you guys have all the information you need right now. Not jazz charts, I'm still on pop section, because this is how you start. You start with your basic chords and harmony and theory, and then we move into more advanced concepts. But for the pop music, that only requires major and minor triads, and that's it. And you can start to play some of these charts that you see in the store, any pop tunes that are currently trending right now, or any older pop tunes that you'd want to play. You only need major and minor triads. Once we get into seventh chords, we'll be doing more jazz standards and things like that, and that's really where it starts to get pick up a little bit, become more advanced. But right now, you only need major and minor triads. So that's why it's so important to know your major scales, like I've been saying. Learn your triads, and even if there's some non-pianists out there listening, this stuff, if you learn on the piano, will really help your improvisation, just because you'll know harmony and theory so much better that once you start improvising, you'll be able to work your way around the harmonies just, you know, fluently. You know, you won't be guessing, you won't be stumbling, you'll be walking that path with confidence. So it can only help you if you learn this stuff if you're non-pianist. So just to review a little bit, we have our major triads, I went over that. We have our minor triads, I went over that. We have our inversions, okay, of our triads. And then we have our voice leading, which was the the episode before the Avishai Cohen masterclasses, which I added previously. And if you haven't checked those out, I really encourage you to do that. He says some great stuff. It's kind of hard to hear him because of the mic and his accent, but there's some great, great information on there. So those are the last two episodes. Go check those out if you get a chance. But voice leading was before that, and we're going to use voice leading to smooth out our playing, to smooth out the chords, right? So one of the first things I want to say is that when you're first playing the harmonies, you know, you're going to be able to hear the piece. You're going to be able to start hearing the melody of any piece that you want to play. You know, Billy Joel and Elton John always come to my mind first, but, you know, like I'm going to take Sweet Home Alabama, the changes to Sweet Home Alabama today, and any sort of pop pieces, you know, Elton John, Lion King, any sort of chart that's just, you know, you're going to see major and minor triads. And since you've practiced those, hopefully you have, that's all you need to play the harmonies in the piece, and that's it. Once you can recognize what the notes are that line up with that chord symbol that they're giving you, you can just fly through the piece, and that's it. Later on in the other episodes, we're going to add rhythmic values to the charts, but for right now, we're just going to keep it pretty simple with half notes and whole notes. Again, that's all you need. So let's take the chords to Sweet Home Alabama. Now, if some of you guys are used to reading guitar charts, they have the lyrics with the chord changes above the lyrics, and that's really all you need as well. So you would look at those chord symbols and match them up with the lyrics. So in Sweet Home Alabama, we have literally three chords, basically, that keeps repeating. And so the first chord is D, major triad, going to C major triad, going to our G major triad. And that's it. Hopefully that's loud enough for you guys. But we have three chords and that's it. And once we add those rhythmic values, we add a little bit of rhythm. Like I'm not playing any rhythm, I'm just playing the harmonies right now. C. Sorry, let me do that again. I screwed up. D, C, and G. Right now, if I add the rhythmic value to it, right? So that's where you really start to get in the piece. You start to hear that you know the sense and the atmosphere of the piece. So just to review, the chord symbols you'll see, all the letters without anything after them, right? If you just see the letters like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? All of those letters are just mean major triads. So you're going to play the major triad that you've practiced with that letter. So if you see an A, you're going to play your A major triad. Now, for some of you who have worked on your inversions, how do you know what inversion to play? Well, you don't really, right? Unless you're reading an actual chart, the actual music, you kind of have to guess. So you can play, you can start with any inversion you want and use that to voice lead into your next inversion. Normally, you're going to want to keep your chords, right, in the middle of the piano because that's going to sound best for the harmonies. If I start to play chords up here, right, that's a little too high. If I play them down here in the low end, it gets a little muddy. So if you take middle C, I'm going to tell you the general rule. If you take middle C and you go up an octave, okay, so and then down an octave. Now that range from the octave below middle C and the octave above middle C should be the range about where you want to keep your right hand voicings, okay? And that's where you'll keep them to play harmonies. Now when you're playing a chart, if you're playing the harmonies with yourself, there's going to be two ways you're going to play the chords. The first way, just by playing the harmonies, is going to be number one. Your left hand is going to play the roots, okay? And the roots are the bottom part of the chord, right? So if you see the letter C up on the paper or the chart, that is your root. That's the root of the chord, okay? Because it's telling you what chord to play. If you see the letter A, which means A major triad, right? You'll play your A in the bass. So these are your roots. These are the roots of the harmonies. They're the foundation, right? They call them roots because like a tree, right? The roots are in the ground. They're holding everything up. It's basically like the foundation, the stones to building your harmonies on top of the roots. So your left hand plays the roots and you don't have to worry about anything else, right? The roots are just the letter that you read on the chart. So if it says minor, major, that's all you need to worry about. You do not need to worry about whether it's minor or major in your left hand, because all you're going to be doing is playing one note, that root. So if you see a D, you play a D. If you see a G, you play a G, right? No matter what quality is. Now your right hand is going to play the chords. So when I'm playing pop charts or chords, right? Pop charts are just, you know, when I'm comping or accompanying like a singer or a vocalist or even a sax, no matter what instrument. If I'm just playing harmonies for pop tunes, my right hand's playing chords and my left hand's playing bass notes. Now, once we start playing with other players, like when you're playing with a bass player in the future, hopefully you guys have aspirations to do that. If not, no problem. But the bass player would be playing the roots, and that's why that's his duty. You know, that's his responsibility. He's holding down those roots because he has that low end. So the bass player is playing all the roots. Now you're going to be playing some other things, and we'll get into how to do that. But I just wanted to give you guys that little bit of information. But for right now, we're going to stick with your left hand playing the roots and your right hand playing the harmonies. So on Sweet Home Alabama, we have a D chord to start out with. So when I look at my D chord, I can see that D is right above middle C. So I'm good to play just a good old D root position chord in my right hand with a D in my bass. Now the bass notes I want to keep below, right? The octave below middle C. So I gave you guys the range for my right hand chords, which is an octave below middle C all the way up to an octave above middle C. That's my range for my right hand harmonies. Now, my range for my bass notes is going to be anything below that low middle C, the octave below middle C. I'm going to play all my bass notes below that. So when I see the D chord in Sweet Home Alabama, my left hand plays the D in the bass, and my right hand plays the chord. Okay? So I have, and I'm going to play them together, obviously, right? So here we go. And that's it. Now, the difference between guitar charts and actual piano charts, or charts you would read like in a more professional setting. I don't want to talk poorly about guitar charts, but there's just not that much information, right? It's a very, very, very simple version of how to just finding the chords. They're not exactly telling you how many beats, the chord is or where they line up. You kind of just got to know the song and figure it out on your own. So they're not that detailed. When you actually see a piano chart with chords, you're going to see chords and you're going to see how many beats are with that chord. So like for Sweet Home Alabama, if we have a pulse, right, we're getting into a little bit of talking about tempos, right? If we have four beats in one measure, that's going like this, right? One, two, three, four. For that one measure, you're only going to see one chord written above the measure. So you'd see measure D. Sorry, guys, my allergies are kind of getting to me right now. So you're going to see the letter D above one measure. So that means you know to play that D chord and hold it for four beats, because it's just for that one measure. So here we go. I'm going to play my D chord and hold it for four beats. Ready? One, two, three, four. That's it. It's that simple, right? It's like getting up and getting a glass of water. That's how easy it is. So then we move to the next measure. And then I see on the next measure, it says C, right? So we know that's a C major triad. And there's nothing else in that measure. All I see is the letter C. So I know that the C chord is going to be for four beats. It's going to be for the whole measure. So I don't need to do anything else besides play a C chord for the next measure. Here we go. One, two, three, four. That's it. So I'm literally playing the harmonies to the chord now. To the song. I get so amped up, I can't even speak about it. It's so much fun. So now let me tell you this. So in a measure, right, the way you know if you're going to split the bar, like split the four beats into two chords, is if there are two chords in the measure, right? So you divide the bar equally. So let's say you see a measure, a full measure, and you see the letters C and D. Now we know that we only play C for two beats, and we split the measure up into two, and then for the second half of the measure, we're going to play a D chord. So each chord gets two beats. So then I'd play the piece like this. One, two, three, four. So I have a chord every two beats. Make sense? Great. But that's not how Sweet Home Alabama goes. We actually have a chord for four beats, for a full measure, each measure. Okay, so now once I distinguish what chords I'm playing and for how many beats, if I see the chord is for the full measure, all we have to do is think about voice leading, right? And so this is what I was talking about in the previous podcast episode before the Avishai Cohen masterclasses, is we want to try and voice lead our chords into the next inversion. So again, the way we do that quickly is by looking at our thumb placement and seeing if that's a common chord tone with our next chord. In the case of the D, right, my thumb is on D. That's not a common chord tone with the next chord. So I'm in root position, D root position, right? D, F sharp, A. Now the closest chord tone in the chord of C is either C or E. Now how do I determine which way I go? Well, I need to look at the other notes in the chord, okay? If I go up with my thumb, that means my other two notes are going to have to move to G and C, and that would create first inversion. That's kind of a big jump because the A is moving to C, if you guys can imagine this. It'd be best if you guys are at the piano looking at it. But from my D chord, if the A moves to C, that's going to be a minor third. That's a pretty big jump. We don't want to really jump too much. The F sharp moves the half step. So let's look at the other option. The other option is to move from D root position down to C root position. Now, is that a smaller jump? I think so. It is, right? So all we're doing is moving each note about a whole step. Well, not about. We are moving it exactly a whole step down to C. So that's a smaller jump. So we know in order to voice lead the D chord into the C, we're going to move it down to C root position. So I'm going to play D for four beats. One, two, three, four, and then go to C. One, two, three, four. And that's it. So I've now voice led the D chord into the C. Now we have one more chord in this progression, and that's the G chord. So I bet you guys just love hearing me sniffle while I'm doing this podcast. Sorry about that. I really want to get this information here going. So I can't waste any time. All right, so we have the C chord. Now we want to voice lead the C chord to the G chord. Actually, let me pause for a second. You guys know in the Dummies book, they have those little tips on the side with that guy saying like tip. So if you guys can picture this next segment as like a little tip. All right, when you're learning how to improvise, voice leading is essential. Like if you're playing bebop lines, right? Right, stuff like that. Knowing where your next common chord tones are so important to playing bebop lines because you don't want to be jumping around. If I have a 2-5-1, right, you don't want to sound like this. I mean, that sounds decent, but you want them to flow naturally into the closest common chord tones because voice leading is always going to sound good. So I might play, right, something like that. So I'm voice leading my improvised lines into each other. So again, guys, I'm just describing the importance of voice leading and knowing where your closest common chord tones are for the next change. That's why harmony, knowing all these harmonies, the chords, and this, and guys, I'm just in the foundation right now. I mean, do you know how much more I have to talk about? Like, this is just like, I'm scratching the surface right now of what I'm going to be getting into. And already there's like so much for you guys here to sink your teeth into. And even if you guys have our improvised, if you're more experienced players, you can go back to this stuff because I guarantee you have holes. Like I even in my playing, I can still continuously practice this stuff to improve my playing. Like where is the closest chord tone going from the 11 of an A flat minor to the third or like the fifth of a B flat seven? Like how would I get there basically, you know? That's not the best analogy, but you get the picture, right? It's very important to know your voice leading skills and how to voice lead your major and minor harmonies. So anyway, that was a little tip. Ding, done. Done with the tip. The dummy's tip, okay? So we're back to the C root position. We want to go to the G root position now, right? And so we want to voice lead that. Now I'm just going to tell you guys the closest inversion here is first inversion to G, right? And that will create my G chord. If you want to practice more with voice leading, check out the voice leading podcast. So I'm going to play D root position, C root position, four beats each, and then G first inversion for four beats. Here we go. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 3, 4. I'll do it one more time. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So now you could tell I kind of threw in a little bit of a rhythm, right? Because rhythms is what makes the music move. You know, it's what makes it. Wow, I can't talk. I got to slow down here. It's what makes people want to dance. People want to move. People want to groove. You know, tap your foot. If I'm just playing whole notes, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? That's super boring. So the rhythms really spice things up, and we're going to get to rhythms. Don't worry. But I just want to tell you, when you're playing this, you're going to be like, well, why doesn't this sound like the recording? You know, it's because there's no rhythms in there. Okay, you're playing the right notes. There's just no rhythmic value. But this is how you want to start. So practice would just take any piece you want, any pop chart, and see if you can read it with the value, right? So maybe you guys, so you want to look at the meter in the beginning, right? You'll see numbers. 4-4, right, is going to be 4 beats per measure. 3-4 is going to be 3 beats per measure. I would pick a piece to start off with that says 4-4, so you know you have 4 beats per measure. And then what you're going to do as you're reading the chords, you want to decipher whether you're playing the chord for 4 beats. And in that case, you're going to see one chord change for the entire measure. If you're playing the chord for 2 beats, you're going to see 2 chord changes per measure. Now, on some rare occasions, right, you're going to see 3 chord changes per bar maybe. So in that case, again, the bar is always 4 beats. So in that case, you want to look where the chord changes are aligned in the measure. If you see a bar with 2 chord changes in the beginning and 1 at the end, then that means the first 2 chord changes are going to be over beats 1 and 2. And the last chord change is over beat 3, which means you hold that for the remaining 2 beats, so beats 3 and 4. So you might have something, if I take the changes to Sweet Home Alabama again, and I have D and C on beats 1 and 2. So I go D, C, and then on beat 3, I have the G chord. So that would mean I would hold the G chord for the remaining 3 beats. So this is how it would go, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. D, C, G, 4. D, C, G. And that's playing, right? D on beat 1, C on beat 2, and G on beat 3. Now, flip-flop that. You can also have the first chord on beat 1 and then the remaining 2 chords on beat 3 and 4. So the first chord you'd hold for 2 beats, and then on beat 3 and 4 you'd have 2 chords. So flip-flop that. I'm going to hold the first chord for 2 beats. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Does that make sense? So you might see things like that in the chart that you pick to play. Okay? And I just wanted to prepare you guys for that. Sometimes on rare occasion you'll see 4 chords in the measure, and all that means is that you're going to align each chord, each major and minor triad, with each beat. So if there's 4 chords, you simply play them in order, 1, 2, 3, 4 on every beat. So let's say I'll add another chord into the progression because there's only 3 chords there. Let's say I play D, C, G, E, right? So it sounds like this, D, C, G, E, right? So you just align each chord per beat and you'll be fine, okay? Now, again, the other thing to watch out for, right now our left hand's playing single note bass notes. Okay, there's 2 options for your left hand. I've given you option 1. It's just a single note bass notes, the roots in your left hand, while your right hand plays your major or minor triads with inversions. Okay? Now, the other option is to play an octave in your left hand, and this is going to thicken up your tune. Okay, so if you play an octave in your left hand, it's going to be denser, right? Your playing is going to be more dense. So if I play, listen to the difference. Here's my one note bass note, the one note root with my chord in my right hand. Okay, now here is 2 notes. Here I'm going to play an octave. I didn't explain what an octave is. An octave is two of the same root in my left hand. So I'm playing a D, and then eight notes up, I'm playing another D. Now this is going to be a little bit more technically advanced because I need to play my pinky on one D and my thumb on the other D, and that gives me an octave, D to D. But when I do that, listen to the sound. It's going to thicken up the sound of the chord because I have an octave in the root now. Okay, here we go. Right, let me play the difference here. There's one, here's two. Can you guys hear the difference? It's very slight, but it just gives more of a thicker sound to your playing. So if you want to add the octave in your left hand, that's an option for you as well. Now, sometimes you're going to see what we call slash chords, okay? Slash chords are where you have one triad in your right hand, one type of triad in your right hand, but your bass is playing a different bass note. Okay, does that make sense? So if you see a D, let's say you see D forward slash B, as in boy. That means your right hand always comes first, so the harmonies always come first. So you have your harmony, your D chord, forward slash B as in boy. That means your root is the B. I'm just going to say boy, basically. Your root is the B as in boy, right? I should have picked a different one so you guys can understand me. I'm going to pick A. So let's say you have D over A. The D chord is the first chord is always your right hand in the slash chord. The letter after the forward slash is always the root you're going to play. So if I see D over A, I'm not playing a D anymore in my left hand. I'm going to play an A, and this is what it sounds like. Okay? So it gives a nice different texture. Here's a D with a D on the bottom. Here's a D with an A on the bottom. Right? This is a G chord with a B on the bottom. B as in boy. So here's D over A. So it gives a really nice texture. You can really start to hear the harmonies of the piece. So when you see those slash chords, just remember the first chord's your right hand or the harmonies. The second letter is going to be the root on the bottom. Okay? And that's really it, guys. That's honestly all there is to it. There's nothing more to it, to playing pop charts or tunes, reading charts, besides seeing where the chords line up, how many beats per chord you're going to hold the chord out for, and what chord to play and what root to play. And that's it. You can play through all the harmonies of any single piece you want. And people advance super fast at this, super, you know, quickly, because you don't need many, you know, like technical stuff. Your right hand's not doing a lot of showy stuff in your right hand, like moving up and down the piano. You're just playing chords. And you could literally join a band tomorrow, you know, granted you'd practice the chords and can play chords. Let's say you can read chords off the bat, you know, like, oh, D chord, boom. A flat minor, boom. You know, E flat minor, boom. You can go join a band tomorrow, guys. You can be living out your dream. If your dream is to play in a band, you know, get up on stage and just rock out, you know, or maybe play some funk with an electric piano, this is all you need. You can literally stop here at this one podcast, practice everything I've taught you, and then go play with a band tomorrow. Because all you need is those harmonies. That's the purpose. The pianist has all the notes laid out for him. Okay, our job is to play the harmonies, and that's exactly what you're doing. We have all the harmonies laid out for us. We have the easiest instrument, I think, because everything is out in front of us for us to see. Horn players, trumpet players, sax players, they have to kind of like, you know, figure out the pitch. Guitar players have to figure out the string. But if you wanted to, you could go join a band and they could put a chart down and you could read it, the chords, and you'd be doing a good job. I mean, obviously there's more components to it, like rhythmic components, different textures and things like that, but that's it. That's the main part of it. So from here, I'm going to go into part two next time in the next podcast, how to start adding some of those rhythmic components. I'm going to talk about rhythms a little bit because rhythms is the next component into playing, you know, pop tunes and stuff like that. So like how to comp. When I say comp too, it just means like playing the harmonies. Comping is another word for playing the harmonies. Or supporting the harmony, or excuse me, supporting the melody or soloist. When you comp the harmonies, you're just playing underneath palate. So I'm going to talk about rhythmic comping and how you can add some very, very simple rhythms to make your playing sound good. Because like I said, otherwise, if you're just playing whole notes and half notes, if you have a chord for a full measure or half measure, it's gonna be a little bit dry just because you're just holding those harmonies down. But again, for ballads and slow pieces, it's great. You don't need rhythms at all. You know, I could play a beautiful ballad just by holding the chords out. Majors and minor triads, right? I might play this, right? 2, 3, 4. Doing here is I'm voice leading inversions and I'm playing an octave in my left hand for my roots, and I'm just making up chords right now. Oops, sorry, I screwed up there. And those little textures I'm doing, I'm just repeating certain notes in the chord. So like in my C chord, I'm repeating that top note, the bottom, and the middle. I'm choosing. That was a repetition of the middle note. That's a repetition of the bottom note. So I'm just kind of placing the same notes, but I'm just repeating them again for a little bit of texture. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. This is a big step into actual playing. So, whew, we finally gotten there, right? If you guys have listened to all the way up through the episodes, I commend you. Because it takes a lot to work up to this point and practice everything you need to practice to get to where you can actually start to play some of these harmonies. But if you've been disciplined and work through them, you know, hard, then you're going to be in a great spot to continue learning, because we're going to get into seventh chords, we're going to get into some jazz chords, and then I'll be taking off with the jazz content and everything else, the harmonies, improvising, all that good stuff. So I'm going to be moving fast, okay? So make sure you're working hard to keep up with this information and you're practicing all the stuff that I'm giving you. All right, I'm going to stop talking because I need to go take some allergy medicine. I'm that nerd. I'm a dork. I need allergy medicine. I'm sorry. So as always, guys, thank you so much. Oh, and again, I don't just say this at the end of every episode. Hopefully you guys have listened to me. But for people podcasting, the way that we move up right in the ranks in iTunes Store is by subscriptions and through ratings, okay, like the 5 stars, how many 5-star ratings we have. So I need your help, guys. It's the only way that this podcast is going to move up in the ratings. Now, I'm just being completely transparent with you right now. There's 4 other podcasts ahead of me. There's the Peter Martin podcast, which he is awesome, guys. I highly recommend looking at. He has a video podcast. He has a number of episodes, but I don't think he's continuing. He's doing it that much. So check out his stuff. He has those video episodes. It's really great stuff. I've used a lot of his techniques myself to improve my playing. Now there's 3 other podcasts. There's the NPR, Peter Martin, Jeff Abrams, which is a guy from Britain. He has a jazz learning podcast. He abandoned his podcast a couple of years ago, so he doesn't do his anymore. And then there's one other like jazz pieces, like where you just listen to jazz tunes, piano jazz tunes, above mine. So I am in the 5th spot right now. My goal, our goal for all of us, is to be number 1 so that we can reach as many people as possible. And it, you know, it's not that I want to beat out that other competition. I mean, I do kind of, but but I want to be, I'm committed to this, and I feel like I'm committed to this and to your education more so than those other people are. So I believe that we as a whole and my listeners and my supporters deserve to be in the number 1 spot, because I'm going to be continuing this education for all of you. And I've already got a lot of feedback that a lot of you guys are listening. So I just want to be number 1 to help other people as much as possible. And that's completely sincere. So the only way we can do that, guys, is if you guys subscribe or if you rate the podcast at 5 stars. So I'd really, really appreciate that. I literally wake up in the morning, every single morning, and I turn on my phone and I look to see if there's new ratings. And I know this is kind of sad, but I'm disappointed if I wake up in the morning, I don't see another review. You know, I'm just like, oh, like, I don't know, am I not doing this well enough? Should I be doing something else? But so I really do appreciate it. Every morning I wake up and I look. So put that, maybe you can be the one to put that smile on my face, okay? All right, I've gotten too far with this. All right, so yeah, so as always, you can leave the review or the rating in the iTunes store. And thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it, and happy practicing.